Will you pray with me? And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I was a green student chaplain doing one of my first on-calls at the infamous old Louisville General Hospital. We chaplains had heard horror stories of the emergency room there and all the trauma it treated, including gunshot wounds, stabbings, and the like. I breathed a sigh of relief when I was paged by a doctor to visit a patient up on one of the wards, as I would get a little break from the ER. However, the doctor who called me said, "There's nothing more that can be done. It is just a matter of time. Maybe you'll know what to say to him." Wow, one of my first experiences. I was nervous, and so I walked as slowly as I could up to the ward, to Mr. Nelson's ward, wondering what I would say or do. When I arrived, to my surprise, he had a trach and he could not speak. "Now what?" But his eyes spoke volumes, volumes of sadness and grief and despair. I awkwardly tried to build rapport by finding myself talking and then realizing that wasn't getting very far. So I just sat with him, put my hand on his shoulder, and held his hand. That was the first of many visits with Mr. Nelson, and we developed a ritual. The visit itself became a ritual, but also the hand-holding, the hand-shaking, the hand-clasping did as well. I've never forgotten Mr. Nelson and what he taught me. What he taught me about the power of touch, the ministry of presence, and the ritual of hope. What is hope, anyway? It's rather difficult to define, I think. It's a slippery word. I hope it doesn't rain today. I hope my team wins. Some describe it as wishful thinking, expectation with confidence, or the cherishing of a desire with trust. Surely, though, it is more than wishful thinking or cheery, ambiguous optimism. I love Emily Dickinson's familiar and well-loved poem that says, "Hope is the thing with feathers that perches in the soul and sings the tune without the words and never stops at all." Yes, hope can imply a perseverance, an endurance, an ability to keep believing, to stay on the journey even when it gets tough. A kind of fuel for the soul, one could say. Indeed, hope is what sustains us. For it is brimming with potential, with possibility and promise. However, theologian Frederick Buechner points out that we must have the courage to say what it is that we are really hoping for. Otherwise, it is simply vague and wishful thinking. For hope goes so much deeper than wishing, requiring risk and personal responsibility. The Apostle Paul describes hope as the essential element of faith. He understood hope in the face of suffering to be just not a personal, but also a communal attribute. For we who claim Christ as Lord are called to hope and to share rituals of hope with each other and with our world. And it is the grace of God that creates the capacity for hope. Even in the midst of suffering, it is our willingness to endure and in the process to learn through our suffering what Paul says produces character. And character, of course, produces hope. And hope does not disappoint. Why? Because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Paul goes on to remind us in Hebrews that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So the sacred journeys which define each of our lives have the potential of being rituals of hope every moment of every day, opportunities at every turn to claim and cherish the gift of life, the abundant life to which we are called every day of our lives. However, it is important that we be real and honest. Hope is not easy, and we have all had those moments when we struggle for hope, when we might even feel hopeless and despairing, like there's no hope. Wendell Berry calls it a difficult hope, and yet this kind of circumstance can inspire growth even in the midst of adversity. Perhaps it is a bad diagnosis, a troubled marriage, concerns about our children or elderly parents, a loved one dying. You know, the hopes, the worries, the fears and concerns. Many days the news is discouraging. So what, if anything, do these words of hope mean to us? Where is the hope? Peter Marty writes that hope grows in the soil of the possibilities of God and not in the dirt of life's present circumstances. So perhaps then hope is more about the faithfulness of God, more about what God wants in us rather than what we want. It is in these times that rituals of hope can become so important, even life-giving to us. Sometimes it is the kindness of others, the promise of prayers, the support of a community that keep us going. Often there are no words, simply a presence, a simple presence, a being with, holding a hand, walking alongside, whatever we can to share life on this sacred journey. Most rituals of hope are small and ordinary, not big and flashy. We are sharing these rituals of hope here at First Baptist of Ann Arbor. We are wearing our prayer bracelets and our commitment to pray and remember Stacy every day. We serve our Vespers guest every Tuesday night. We have this amazing, vibrant partnership with Amos, Health and Hope, whose own ministry to the most vulnerable people in Nicaragua not only inspires us every day, but is a powerful ritual of hope and healing in and of itself. We're sharing a ritual right now by coming together this morning, as we do every Sunday morning. These rituals are a way of affirming God's presence in our midst, of embodying God's presence, of being little Christ to one another, of sharing joy along with hope as we travel the journey together. Sorrow, despair, hope. We are sharing rituals of hope, but that we can always do more. And I hope we might be challenged this day as we hear more about Amos, as we contemplate how God is calling us to live our sacred journeys this day. I pray that we can continue to discover and find more ways to share rituals of hope, not only with one another, but with our neighbors near and far. And might we be reminded that we are encouraged to share, to receive these rituals as well as to share. Sometimes we need to be on the receiving end of a hand reached out or a kindness, a gentle word or touch. So let us take hope to heart within ourselves. May we make it specific and personal and then take our hope and faith into action. Theologian Jürgen Moltmann has written about a theology of hope. He reminds us, as Paul did, that our faith is essentially hope. It is hope that God, who came to us most personally in Jesus, is present to us in God's own spirit. He encourages us to practice a living hope, claiming the knowledge and empowerment of the one who suffers with us, who is inescapably present to us. And then Moltmann challenges you and me to become the hope, God's hope in this world, as Christ's hands and feet. I had a long-term patient whom I'll call Angela. She had been ill her whole adult life with a debilitating heart disease, and she was now in her early 40s. She even had to give up medical school because of her health. She had suffered many losses in her life, including the early deaths of her parents, a recent death of a brother, and this roller coaster of her health journey, which was continuously up and down. On a day in which she was particularly discouraged, I visited, and I asked her how I could best keep her in my prayers. I knew that some of her greatest fears were of being alone and of being in pain. And so when I asked her this, she whispered almost inaudibly, "For hope. Please pray for hope." And there's a beautiful story about Nelson Mandela near the end of his imprisonment, which lasted for 27 years. He received a surprise visit from his daughter with a new grandchild. He held this newborn granddaughter in his arms and was overwhelmed with emotion, and he was asked to name her. And with bold confidence, he declared, "Her name is Zaziwe, which means hope in African language, an African word for hope." And when he was asked why, he said, "During all my years in prison, hope never left me." What stirs your heart to hope this day? For what do you dare to hope? What rituals do you need or long for in your own journey to encourage and strengthen you on your way? And what rituals might be at hand in which you might share personally or in which we might share as a community with each other and with our world? We are called to hope and to share in these specific rituals of hope with one another and with our world. For in the grace of God lies the infinite possibility of hope, and hope does not disappoint.